Good evening. It is good for us to be back together on the Lord's Day. We are thankful for your presence. If you're visiting, we're especially glad to have you here tonight. We have been doing the Back to the Bible series on Sunday nights for several weeks, and I have been struggling with the best way to do this, to make it effective and to make it interesting. And sometimes just going through the question and answering it and going through the question and answering it doesn't seem like the most interesting way to present this. And so tonight I am going to take a little bit of a different approach. We have been going through lesson number 2, if you see it up here on the chart, is the second booklet in the series. It is the blue one, and it has 4 different parts to it. The first one is the church. The second one is the organization of the church. The third one is the worship of the church. And then tonight we only have 1 section left, and that is the name of the church. Tonight we're going to be studying the name of the church. But what I'm going to do, since we have such a short amount left, is I'm going to preach a short sermon dealing with this material. And then we're just going to go through the questions very briefly, and you can let me know what you think about this approach, if maybe this is a little bit more effective. You can see I'm getting carried away with the PowerPoint. The more that I learn, the more I'm wanting to do with it, but I'm enjoying it. It's kind of fun as I learn this. You know, many people in the world would say that the name of the church is not important. Shakespeare is quoted as saying, "A rose by any other name is still a rose." And many people have played off of that to say that it's not the name that matters. The name is not important. In fact, I had a man say to me on one occasion, he said, "Don, it's not the name on the sign that matters. It's what's going on inside the building that counts." And of course, the idea is the name's not important. And of course, the old saying is, there's nothing in a name. But I want you to observe with me this evening that while men will say a name doesn't matter, with God, it does matter. And we're going to prove that that is the case tonight. The first point I want to make is that names matter to God. First, I want you to think about Adam and Eve. Names mattered so much to God that when He created the first man and the first woman, He named them. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2 says, "Male and female created He them, and He blessed them and called their name Adam in the day that they were created." Now, if there is nothing in a name, we would ask the question, why did God bother? Why did He do this if names don't matter? I want you to consider Abraham. God put so much importance in a name that on occasion He would change a person's name. Abraham is an example of this. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 5, He said, "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations I have made thee." Likewise, He changed Sarah's name. Her name was originally Sarai. Genesis 17 and verse 15, "And God said to Abraham, for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name." He also changed Jacob's name. And again, if there's nothing in the name, explain to me why God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 18, "And He said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed." And so if we say that there is nothing in a name, we really reflect on the wisdom of God and we accuse Him of doing something foolish and something useless because He saw fit to change men's names. And so what we learn from this is a name is important to God, and there's other people in the Bible that God changed their names as well. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says about names. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 and following, Paul says this, "Now, this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas," that is Peter, "or I am of Christ." Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And of course, the point he's making is you weren't baptized in the name of Paul. And then he goes on in verse 14 and Paul says this, "I thank God that I baptized none of you, lest you should say that I baptized in my own name." Paul said names do matter. He said, "I would not want anyone to say that they baptized in the name of Paul." Paul understood names matter. Now, I want you to think about this. If it had been wrong, it was wrong to wear Paul's name, would that be true for any other person's name? I want you to listen to the words of Martin Luther, who incidentally, he has a group of people who call themselves by his name. Martin Luther said, "I pray that you leave my name alone. Do not call yourselves Lutherans, but Christians." They were starting to do that even in his lifetime, and he said, "Don't do this. This is not right." He said, "Who is Luther? My doctrine is not mine. I've not been crucified for anyone. Paul would not let themselves call themselves after his name, nor Peter, but only Christ. How then does it befit me, a miserable bag of dust and ashes, to give my name to the children of God? Cease, my dear friends, to cling to party names and distinctions. Away with it all, and let us call ourselves Christians." Now, Martin Luther had a lot of things wrong, but he understood something that many in the world today do not, and that is names matter to God. All right? I want to show you this. Men may say that names don't matter to us, but it's not true. Names matter to men. I want you to think about animals and children. Why is it that men will name their dogs Fido and Satan, and they will name their donkeys Rebel and Lucifer, but they name their sons James and John? Now, if there's nothing in a name, why don't we reverse it? Why don't we name our children Fido? And why don't we name our children Lucifer? The point is, we know names matter. There is something in a name. I want you to think about the business world. In the 1980s, I remember that there was a diet pill called AIDS. Do y'all remember that? It was a diet candy that you eat. Several are shaking your heads. If you remember that, that means that you're old, if you remember this. Well, shortly after this disease called AIDS popped up. You know what happened to this diet candy called AIDS? Gone. You can't find it. You know why? Because names do matter. I did a search for the phrase business names on Google just today, and what I found out is there are tons of websites like this one I listed here from Forbes. 15 mistakes to avoid when naming your business. Read this before naming your business. On and on and on and on. These sites talk about the importance of the name. Why? Because we understand that names matter. I want you to think about marriage. In marriage, would a groom, when he is marrying his new bride, would he be okay if the preacher said, "I now pronounce you," and give her another man's name? Would he say, "You don't have to take my name. You can take any other. Take my friend, the best man. You can take his name." That's not going to fly, is it? Why? Because names matter. Names are important to us. Now, that being the case, why would we think any less of the church, which is the precious bride of Christ? Why are we content to wear other men's names religiously? Now, what we're saying tonight is such is not the case with the Lord's church. The Lord's church is different. We desire to be called by a biblical name, not the name of a man, but rather by the Lord Himself. And so, what should we call the church? Let's go to the Bible for our answer. Here are some biblical names of the church. There might be some more. These are some that I came up with. Jesus called His church simply My church, Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church. It is simply called the church. Acts 8:1, it's called the church of God. 1 Corinthians 1:2, it's called the churches of Christ. In Romans 16:16, here it's used in the plural because he's referring to all of the congregations that are a part of the one universal church of Christ. It's called the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:12, the church of the living God. 1 Timothy 3:15, the church of the firstborn, Hebrews 12:23. And so any or all of those are scriptural designations. It would be appropriate to refer to the church by any of those names. Now, what about individually? Does it matter what we call ourselves individually? And the answer is, of course. Just as the Bible gives names for the church, it gives names for the followers, those who are members of the New Testament church. Now, what are some of those names? Well, sometimes they are called disciples, such as Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples have come together. A disciple simply means a learner. It means a follower. Sometimes members of the church are called saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Now the world has messed this up, and they think only a special group of people are called saints. In the New Testament, all members of the church are referred to as saints. They are called beloved of God, Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. Simply called brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6. Sons of God, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Children of God, 1 John 3 and verse 14. Heirs of God, Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. And of course, this is simply alluding to the fact that we have an inheritance coming from God. When we're called sons of God, it's showing the relationship that we have to the Father. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, we are called a royal priesthood. That is, we are priests. All Christians are priests. In the Lord's church, there's not a select group of men who are priests. Every Christian is a priest. And that's alluding to the fact that we can offer up spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ. And of course, members of the church are called Christians. Acts 11 and verse 26, the Bible says, and the disciples, the followers, were first called Christians in Antioch. In Acts 26 and verse 28, King Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, Peter said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Now, what's the point of all of this? Friends, the point that we are making is there are appropriate ways to refer to the people of God, and there are inappropriate ways. There is something in a name, and the Lord's church is different. I only want to be called by a God-given name. And while it is true that there is a method and there is a system to the Lord's work, I don't consider myself a Methodist. Why? Because the Bible never says that. While it is true that we have bishops, the Greek word for bishops is episkopos, bishops who oversee the congregation. I'm not Episcopalian because the Bible never uses that terminology. We should always seek to have elders. The Greek word is presbyteros, but we don't call ourselves Presbyterians because the Bible doesn't use that terminology. It is true that each congregation is independent, but I'm not a congregationalist. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it takes immersion to constitute Bible baptism, but I'm not a Baptist. I am confident that Christians should be holy, but I'm not a holiness. My hope is in the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come again one day, but I'm not an Adventist. The Scriptures teach that the Lord's church is universal or Catholic, but I'm not a Catholic. But you know, according to the reasoning and practice of some folks in the religious world, since I believe in all of these things, I should call myself a Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Congregationalist, Baptist, Holiness, Catholic, Christian. But you know, all of that is unnecessary because what we find in the Bible is that the disciples were simply called Christians. We never read about hyphenated Christians. I heard an old preacher say this one time and I liked it. He said, when people ask me what I am religiously, he said, I simply say, I'm a Christian. When they say, what kind, he said, I just tell them I'm a good one. And that's a biblical answer. I want you to listen to the words of Charles Spurgeon, who, ironically, was one of the most famous, best-known Baptist preachers who ever lived. Even he recognized the fact that we're talking about tonight. He said, I say of the name Baptist, let it perish, but of Christ's name, let it last forever. He said, I look forward with pleasure to the day when there will not be a Baptist living. I hope they will all soon be gone. I hope the name Baptist will soon perish, but let Christ's name endure forever. Though he was a Baptist, he understood the biblical principle that we're talking about tonight. Now, that's a short lesson about what the Bible says about the name of the church. Now, I want us to go back and go through the last section of the Back to the Bible series. This is dealing with the name of the church. Now, since we've covered the background, we're not going to have to spend much time. Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Who built the church? Jesus did. Jesus said that He is going to build whose church? It's going to be His church. Next, Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul said to the Ephesian elders, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood." Who purchased the church? Jesus did. And so, what name should be on the deed? That is, whose church is it? It is Jesus' church. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 13. We've referred to this passage a bunch of times today. Paul said, "This I say, that each of you says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Question, is it a sin to name the church after Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or any other human being? Yes. If the church were named after Paul, whom would we be glorifying? Paul. If the church were named after a religious act such as repentance, what would we be glorifying? Repentance. All right? If it were a sin to name it the Pauline church, would it be a sin to name it the Lutheran church? Yes. If it were a sin to name it the Repentance Church, would it be a sin to name it the Baptist Church? Yes. Can you think of any other unauthorized religious names that are used today? And you could make quite a list. The Lutheran Church, the Mormon Church, you could go on and on. Colossians 3:17. This is our passage this morning. "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Are we to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus? Yes. Would this include the name by which we refer to God's people? Yes. Last slide, Romans 16:16. "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." Do you read of the church of Christ in the Bible? Yes. Would it be wrong to call the church by this name? No. Would this name glorify the one who built the church and bought it with His blood? Yes. Oh, I was wrong. We got another. Hebrews 8 and verse 5, "Who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain.'" That is, God said to Moses before He made the tabernacle, "See that you make all things according to the pattern." He said, "Follow the pattern that I gave you." Was Moses warned to build the tabernacle after God's pattern? Yes. Must we be careful to build the church after God's pattern? Yes. And here's the summary. There is something in a name. And today, we only want to be a part of a church that uses a scriptural name that glorifies Christ. Now you might think, why are we going through all of this? What is the point of all of this? Remember, you're trying to show a person who doesn't understand the church of the New Testament how to find it. And one of the ways is the name matters to God. Tonight, we're inviting you to be a part of the one church that you read about in the Bible. One of the ways that you identify that one church is by what the Bible calls it. Tonight, if you want to be a part of the church of Christ, and really the church of Christ is not a name, listen to what I'm about to say. The church of Christ is a designation. Really, it means the church that belongs to Christ. Tonight, if you want to be a part of the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, the way you do that is by obeying the gospel. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Tonight, if you want to do that, we're ready to assist you. If you're already a member of the church and you have sin in your life that you need to take care of in a public way, you also have opportunity to do that tonight as well. This evening, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come? Together we stand and sing the invitation song.